The Pharisees went off and plotted how they might entrap Jesus in speech. They sent their disciples to him with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are a truthful man and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth, and you are not concerned with anyone's opinion, for you do not regard a person's status. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not?" Knowing their malice, Jesus said, "Why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin that pays the census tax." Then they handed him the Roman coin. He said to them, "Whose image is this, and whose inscription?" They replied, "Caesar's." And that he said to them, "Then repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. 29th Sunday in Ordinary Time. The year is going by quickly. And this year we've been processing through the Gospel of St. Matthew. And we've seen the tensions continually rise Sunday after Sunday. When in the beginning of the month we heard about the the vineyard. We went to the vineyard. Then was asked who's the greatest of all, that they wanted to sit next to Jesus. Last week we heard about the wedding feast. And here we see a very, very interesting battle between the Pharisees and Jesus. There's a lot of tension. This is twice in the Gospel of St. Matthew where the Pharisees try to entrap Jesus. They trap him. One, they try when they ask him the issue of marriage, and they try to pit him against Moses, and he's able to remove himself from that situation because he's Jesus. They can't trap him. And here, they try to pit him against the Roman people, the Roman government. So to understand this gospel reading, we have to understand kind of what was happening in that time. I think a very superficial reading of this is we all know the line, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar and give to God what is God's." That's acknowledging that we are citizens. We are citizens of a state. We have an obligation to the state. I think that's kind of a given. But I think what this gospel reflects us is to go much deeper than that. And I want to focus on the tension between those two groups of people, the Pharisees and the Herodians. Let's look, who are the Pharisees? The Pharisees were the religious leaders of the time. They were the doctors of the law. They probably had very admirable goals. They acknowledged the state of Israel, if you will, that they knew they were God's chosen people, but they rejected the Roman government. Who were the Herodians? The Herodians were also Jewish people. They respected the idea of they were the chosen people of God, but they were willing to work with the government. They acknowledged the Roman emperor. They were okay with that. So here you have two people, with probably two groups of people with very laudable goals, but the way to achieve that goal was very different. They both had different ways of doing that. But what did they do? They almost conspired, it says. Jesus said they had, knowing their malice, of what they wanted to do. They wanted to trap him. Think about the times in our own lives where we belong to different groups of people, that we tend to segregate ourselves into different groups to get ahead, to make that business deal, to prove our point in on a religious matter. What is our intent? Why do we do that? Is that of God? But look at how Jesus answers that. Because he's in that situation that if he says, pay the tax, then he'll upset the Pharisees. If he says, don't pay the tax, he'll upset the Herodians, because they will say that he's speaking against the Roman government and they'll prosecute them for that. So what does he do? He essentially doesn't answer. doesn't answer that question because he goes much deeper. And that's what we're called to do. Take a moment now, reach into your pockets. I beg you to ask, what do you pull out of your pockets today? What coin, what piece of silver, what money do you have in your pocket? Look at what Jesus says. Knowing, he calls them hypocrites, and he knew the own Pharisees that reject the law had the same coin in their pocket, ask him to pull it out. And he says, whose image on that, and what is the inscription? On the Roman denarius was an inscription that said, Caesar Augustus, divinely instituted. The Romans saw their emperor as a god. He was divine. And what does Jesus say? Give to God what is God, give to Caesar what is Caesar. What does that mean for us? How does Jesus handle that? How are we to be different? It's because we are all imprinted with an inscription on our souls by virtue of our baptism. When we were baptized, we were chosen, we were set apart. You heard that proclaimed by St. Paul in the second reading. You are chosen. You are a people that has been given the Holy Spirit. And that is the fancy word we use in the church. It's an indelible mark, a mark that can never be taken away. When the water was poured over our heads and we were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we became changed persons. We became engrafted to the body of Christ. We are a family. We were not different groups. We're one. We're one family. We are the mystical body of Christ with Jesus as our head. He is our model. So obviously everything is God's. We have to have earthly detachment from things here on this earth. We can't attach ourselves to the temporal things. While they're important, we have to function and rule. We're made for something different. So do we treat each other that way as we're made for something different? Are we set apart as we should by that inscription that we have on our very souls? This weekend, Bishop Barron is speaking at a conference in the Archdiocese of Seattle called the Cornerstone Conference. And this conference was started to kind of deal with some of the divides in the church. More specifically, the divide of what have been called the social justice Catholics versus the pro-life Catholics. And he speaks about how terribly painful that divide, that division. It's no different than the Pharisees and the Herodians, that both of them have very laudable goals, but they're both vitally important for the mission of the church. There is no question that things are intrinsically evil. Abortion, euthanasia, never can be permitted. But we also have to see, how did Jesus evangelize in the gospel? He did that by taking care of people, by feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the imprisoned. Those are all laudable goals. Just like a bird flying together, it needs two wings. St. John Paul II said, the beauty of the church is the East and the West is like two lungs that are breathing in unison to inspire and give the church the Holy Spirit to go forth. We create these divisions where they don't need to be created. But more importantly, how do we heal them? How do we bridge that divide? Very easily, the Holy Mass. The source and summit of our faith. The Holy Mass is where the Holy Spirit is most in union with us. We heard again in the second reading that the Holy Spirit will give you the conviction. The Holy Spirit is completely at work and present in the Mass, changing the substance of bread and wine to the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is our strength. That's what sustains us. And it's from the Mass that we are all here, from all different parts of life, from different families, languages, tongues, but here we are one people by virtue of that indelible inscription written on our souls at the time of our baptism. So we need to continue to pray for healing, for the Holy Spirit to come upon us, to be able to respond and preach with conviction what has been given to us through the Holy Gospel. Then we continue, we'll change the world, and we will give to God, which is God, which is everything He has given us.